turn. Go ahead and find a seat. And let's go ahead and let's get started. Did it just get dark in here? I got a retinal tear. That could very well be it. So, as I was preparing the message for this week, which you'll notice on their bulletins, if you regularly attend with us, normally we have sermon notes, fill in the blank, something along the lines back here. The reason why there's a psalm here is because during this week, normally I have my message finished on Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday is spent refining, and then you submit this stuff to Helen, who prints it on Thursday. However, on Wednesday, I took the message that I had and I threw it away and made a different one. And then on Thursday, I took that message and threw it away. And so on Friday, I got a different one. So, that's why this is here. But I think the reason is very, very important. It's as Doug mentioned earlier. We as a church, we're having some rough times right now. We're having some sad times, some grieving times. But at the same time, we have amazing things going on. We don't want to spend all day down in the dumps because we have wonderful, wonderful things. We have four people right here waiting to be baptized. And we've got five or six more that for one reason or another just couldn't be here today. And so when we get this baptismal thing figured out, which hopefully will be soon, we're going to have eight or nine different people to baptize. If that's not amazing, I don't know what is. That's the best thing I got. So, but let's go ahead and let's pray together, and then we'll get started. Lord God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that you are continually with us. Your word says you never leave us, you never forsake us. Even if it becomes to where we fall, if we turn away from you, if we are unfaithful, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. And so, God, I pray a blessing over us today, both in this sanctuary, in this room, for the youth that are meeting, for the children that are meeting. God, I pray that your words would go forth today. Lord, that hearts would be touched, that lives would be changed, that we would be encouraged and built up by your written word and by the Holy Spirit that I believe is with us right now. And so, Lord, we love you. God, we trust you. I trust you with this time right here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as I was preparing this message today, the question came in my mind, have you ever had a time to where you've either listened to just bad advice from somebody, maybe gave yourself bad advice, and you had to suffer consequences for it? No? Maybe that's just me. You know, oftentimes we listen to the wisdom of others and we think it's going to be great. And then we put it into practice. Not so much. You know, it could be something trivial. I remember the first time I had a friend tell me that sushi was good. I'm getting some mixed reactions here. All right. So I've got a few people cheering and a few people booing. All right. So we talk about it could be something small or it could be something much, much more important. For example, it could be when someone hurts you and then you talk to your friend about it and they say, you know, forgiveness is for weak people. You don't need to forgive them. You need to get back at them. You need to hold it over them. Or if there's a couple that's looking forward to marriage and someone says, you need to live together for a while, you got to try stuff out before you seal it with marriage. You see, the wisdom that we have has a profound impact on people. Could be for all eternity, for the rest of their lives, both here and beyond. You know, if I can confess something to you, you know the scariest part of preaching? People listen. People listen. They actually change what they're doing because of what's said here. And you know what? When you speak into someone's life, they listen. That should make us all fear, make us all wonder, what words am I saying? Am I saying the right thing to them? Because if not, I'm going to lead them down a path that they don't need to go. And so that's what we're talking about today is wisdom. What is it and where can we get it? And you know, wisdom is more than knowing facts. Oftentimes people think someone is wise if they know a lot of stuff. You know, if they're sitting and watching Jeopardy and they can answer every single question, we think, well, that person's pretty wise. But it's so much more than that. It's the ability to use that knowledge, the ability to use whatever facts they know to affect their lives, to apply it to a situation that they're in or that a friend is in, and to be able to seek God for it and come out ahead. Oftentimes, and this is a general statement, so bear with me, oftentimes as children, we have very little wisdom. Now, there's exceptions to that. We all know that children can say profound and wonderful things. For example, my boy Elijah, he gave me this because he said, we'll make sure nothing happens to it. But this one, I remember when he first told us he wanted to be baptized. Actually, he said, I want to be baptized. So first we worked on how to pronounce it. Then we moved forward. And I asked him, why? You know, you just wanting to go jump into a lake, or you want to go swimming? What's the big deal here? And we were chatting back and forth. And then finally he said, you know what, Dad? He says, I want to be baptized because I believe in God. And you know what? If people see me, maybe they'll believe in God too. And it was at that moment that I about gave up preaching because my 8-year-old's better than me. It's hard to top that. I'm going to scoot this back so we've got a side thing going here. But for the most part, as children have very little wisdom. That's why it's our job as parents and as adults to teach them. Another story, just to illustrate that. One of my sons, I won't say which one, I stepped out on the back deck one day. This is a true story. He had a bicycle helmet on his head, safety first. He had a rope basically tied around his waist, and the other end of the rope tied around the railing to our deck. And our deck's 12, 13 feet high, somewhere near off the ground. And his great idea was he was going to rappel down the side of the deck. They do it in the movies, right? He was wearing a helmet. And so you step out there and you say, what are you thinking? Anybody ever said that to your kids? The truth is, they're not. They're not thinking. They're thinking, this is going to be awesome. They're forgetting the fact that I could probably break both of my legs by doing this. And that'd be the best outcome. And so how do we gain wisdom? Well, wisdom as children, they have little, but hopefully through their experiences, through communion with God, through the experiences of those around them, hopefully over time we grow in our wisdom. And so as I've kind of already said, I was preparing this message, and we as pastors, we were together, we were praying, asking God, how do we lead our church through this troubled time, a time of sadness and a time of rejoicing? And I think the word from God was this: you need wisdom. You need to know, how do you rejoice with those who are rejoicing but mourn with those who are mourning at the same time? And I think that's a word for us today, is we need wisdom. And so we get it from personal experience. We get it from other people. And oftentimes people can speak wisdom into our lives. Or other times we just see what they're doing and we can learn from that. But we've already said, sometimes people give bad advice. Sometimes people give bad wisdom. And so the question is, how do we know if a person is wise? Well, this is what I believe James is going to tell us in just a moment. A person is wise when they seek God and they humbly perform good works for others. Wisdom comes from God and it leads to acts of service with an attitude of meekness. If you've been with us for a few weeks, we're going through the book of James. We're looking preaching through this New Testament letter, and we're asking a question: how can I live life on this earth to honor God in a very cheerful manner? how is it that I can live a life that brings glory to Him and have joy at the same time? You know what's interesting? Those aren't two different questions. You see, God designed us to pursue joy. He designed us to pursue pleasure, to pursue satisfaction. The reason why, the place we get the most joy, the most satisfaction, it's in Jesus. He is the greatest source we'll ever know. If you're pursuing joy on this earth and you're not looking to Him, you're missing out. And so James tells us, how can we honor God and have joy on this world? In our reading today, James is talking to specifically a group of teachers that had a tendency to go around just kind of tell people how wise they were, how learned, how much stuff they knew. And James is going to ask them a question right off the bat. He says, really? He says, who is wise among you? That's one of them rhetorical questions. That's a challenge, basically. Because he knows the answer. But he's saying, who is wise among you? And then he's going to tell us a difference between wisdom from above, that's our heavenly wisdom, our wisdom that's focused on God, and our wisdom from below, our wisdom that comes from this earth, our wisdom that is ultimately focused on ourselves, the focus on how can we help ourselves get through life. And then James is going to have a word about peace. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. It'll pop up on the screen here in just a moment. And let's read together, starting in verse 13. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast. Don't say you're wise. Don't be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly and unspiritual and demonic. Some of your translations may say of the devil or devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be every disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So how does James characterize wisdom? What standard does he set forth to know? Do I have wisdom or not? Is the person that I'm listening to, do they have wisdom? He says it's shown through their actions. He's saying, don't tell me you're wise. Let me see it. Let me look at your life and let me see how wise you are. He says that wisdom is shown through being merciful, through being sincere, through being open to reason. Oftentimes, we get kind of closed off in certain areas where we think we've kind of got everything figured out and no one else can speak into it. James says that's not wisdom. Don't do that. He says be open to reason. And Christianity, if I can talk about Christianity as a whole, it's one of the only religions, if not the only major religion, that encourages its people to test what it says. It says, take what you read here and test it against life. Yeah. See if it's true. Because you see, Jesus, he's not looking for blind followers. He's looking for wise followers. He's looking for ones that are be able to say, this is why I follow Jesus. This is why I live life the way that I do. That's nothing to cry about either. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, it involves John the Baptist. John was a prophet, and he baptized Jesus, hence the name John the Baptist. But he baptizes Jesus at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And then he sees the dove comes down, and it lands on Jesus, and then God speaks through the heavens, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John is there for all of that. Later on, John gets arrested because of his faith, and he's in prison. And he starts to wonder. He starts to doubt, is this the Messiah? Is Jesus really the one that is to come? And so he sends some messengers. Remember, he's in jail. He sends some messengers to Jesus. Now, I'm trying to imagine in my mind how this conversation goes. And so the messengers come up, and they say, hey, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus, he's over here. And what does he say? Well, yes, of course I am. In fact, here's five reasons why I'm the Messiah, and you better believe or I'm going to get you. Is that what Jesus says? No. Push the rewind button here. All right. John's messengers come in, and they say, hey, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? And how does Jesus answer? He says, go, tell John what you hear and what you see. People are healed. The lame walk. The gospel is preached. Go tell John what you see me do. You see, Jesus based his wisdom on his works. He said, go tell John what you see, what I am actually doing, and then let him decide for himself. It's because Jesus knew that we can't see the mind and the heart of people. We can't really see their intentions. We can't see what's behind what they do. All we can see is what they're actually doing. And it's the same for us. People can see our works. They might hear what we say, but they're focused more on what are we doing. And so we see that wisdom is shown through good works. How then are we to know if those works are genuine? People can do good works from all kinds of reasons, for all kinds of motivations. Maybe they're thinking, if I do this for you, then he'll have to pay me back someday. I'm going to build up some favors to get. Or maybe it's through some kind of manipulation or to get control over somebody. You see, good works are genuine only when they are done in meekness, with a sense of humility. Works show our faith. They show what's inside of us. And this statement that James writes, when he says, let their good conduct be done in the meekness of wisdom, that would be profound for the people hearing him. You see, in the culture of the day, in the Greek and Roman culture, meekness was not something to be pursued. It was weakness. The wisdom of the day, the wisdom that's earthly that James speaks of, says that you should get all the money and all the power you can in life, and it doesn't matter who is in your way. Run them over, move them out of the way, so that you can succeed and everyone will look to you. And in the face of that, James says, no. The truly wise are those who serve others humbly, expecting absolutely nothing in return. And so this is what the scripture says. As we said earlier, God wants us to test this. And so let's look at life. You know, we have several teachers in here, in our body. What do we say about teachers that we like? Do we say, man, she really knew her math? Or all those history facts, I remember every single one of them. What do we say? We say she loved her students. Or he went out of his way to care for his students. Because the good works aren't enough. They have to be done in meekness. You know, as a pastor of this church, I'm privileged to be brought into many struggles that people are having. And I hope it's done because you know that we as pastors, we love our people. We care for our people. We are interested in our people and in their lives. And one of the greatest joys that I have, if I'm going to the hospital to visit someone, is to see there's people there. They're already visiting. They're already caring for that person. You see, church, that's heavenly wisdom. Or when there's a family that has a newborn child and a meal train is just set up spontaneously to serve that person. That's wisdom. That's trying to care for people. Or when I see, like this morning, when people came forward to gather around Aaliyah to pray for her, that's wisdom. Or oftentimes we pray during service and people will come meet people that they've never seen before and pray for them and support them. That's wisdom. That's wisdom from above. That is the heavenly wisdom that James talks about right here. Because that heavenly wisdom comes from just there. It comes from heaven. That's kind of a duh. Hence the name, right? It has to come from there. And test that. If you're a follower of Jesus, look back at the times of your life where you felt, man, I was walking in wisdom in this situation. I had a tough situation. Maybe it was a job change or an issue with a boss or the finances just weren't working out or whatever it happens to be, a relational conflict. And you can look back at that and say, I walked in wisdom at that time. Was it at a time when you were running away from God? When you were ignoring Him? I know I can say in my own life, if I can look back and see the times that I've walked in wisdom, which is easy for me to do, because there's only a few of them. There's some affirmation there. Thank you. Preach it, brother. All right. In times in my life when I've walked in wisdom, it's when I've been reading this. It's when I've been spending time in prayer. It's when I've been spending time with God's people here at church. It's when I've been able to sing. It's when I've been able to hear the word preached. Those are the times that we walk in wisdom. Because you see, as we seek more and more of heaven, we can't help but walk it out here on earth. If we are really seeking God and really seeking His will for our lives, it has to lead to service. If we remember the great things that He has done for us and how without Him, we've got nothing. If we remember that, that has to lead to humility, knowing that it's not based on me. It's based on God. It's based on Jesus. And so we can develop a posture of humility, of how to respond to situations in life. And others will see that. Others see our humility. And then they wonder, why? And so our actions reveal our faith. I've got one more question for you. How can we show our faith today? What can we do today to show people the wisdom of God that comes through us? Because you see, many people, they're never going to pick up a Bible to read it. The only thing they know about God is what you show them. And so how can we reveal His wisdom? Well, the answer is simple. We seek God. We seek people. Wisdom is shown. We can show our faith through prayer and through service. You know, our theme for the book of James, as we've been asking that question, how do we honor God? Is it through faith or is it through works? The answer is yes. It's through both. Our faith in God leads to an outpouring of works for those around us. And if it doesn't, there's a disconnect there somewhere that we have to figure out. And so in order to gain wisdom, we must be connected to the wise one. We must be connected to Jesus. And the main way to do that is through prayer. Now today I haven't focused a lot on prayer. I've been talking more about good works, more about our service towards others. Don't think that means prayer is unimportant. Prayer is vital. But we're going to talk about prayer more as we continue through James. Remember, it's faith and it's works. Today we're focusing more on the works. And so we seek God for wisdom. James even says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you generously. He'll overflow it on you. And then we seek people. We seek people not only to learn from them, but also to impart our wisdom to them through service. And so when we ask God for wisdom that is pure and is peaceable, that leads to us serving others. And then James says in that last verse, verse 18, he says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If we sow peace around us, we're going to get righteousness. When we press into the relationships with people around us, when we don't isolate ourselves, sometimes there's a tendency to pull back, especially in the midst of grief. We want to say, I need to be away from people. When we press into people, we gain wisdom. And people don't need to say if they're wise or not. You can look at their works and you can tell pretty quick. By the same token, we don't need to say if we're wise or not. People will look at our works and look at how we live our lives, and they'll be able to tell. You know, go ahead and close your Bibles. I want to tell you a story about a guy named John Wesley. Wesley lived in England during the 1700s. He was a great preacher, a great writer. He was a missionary. He came to America for a few years to conduct missions work, and it didn't work out for him real well, so he went kind of right back to England. But he had a 50-year ministry in England, and he was a traveling preacher, rode on horseback all over the place to preach. And it's estimated that he preached over 40,000 sermons over the course of his life. He was a great speaker. He was a great writer. If you look at the volumes, you can get the completed volumes of different people's work. John Wesley's are volumes and volumes and volumes of work, which I don't even know when he did that because he was always on horseback. You can't ride a horse and do the ink and quill thing. I mean, we struggle enough with driving and texting. Don't do that. He couldn't do the horse and the ink and the quill. It just wouldn't work. And he was very much involved in the theological debates of his day, especially if you look at any of the conversations he had with another guy named George Whitefield. It's fascinating stuff. John Wesley is known most, probably, by founding the Methodist Church. Worldwide influence started with John Wesley. So he was very much involved in Christian works. And I wonder, where did Wesley get his wisdom? I'm going to share this to you, and I think it has two applications for us. He says, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. First thing I want to say is to parents especially, your children are learning about Christianity from you, for better or for worse. What are you teaching them? Are you teaching them that God is vital, that Jesus is your satisfaction, that you want to spend time with him, you want to study his word, that whenever there's a difficult situation in life, you want to bring it to God? Or are you teaching them that, church is something we do some Sundays, not always, and it's really nice to go out to eat afterwards? Because our children will learn. You know, it's always encouraging to see children up here waiting to be baptized. That means God's done something in their lives. It also means that God has done something in their parents' lives as well, and that he's using them to reach their children. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say for everyone. Wesley learned more about Christianity from watching his mother serve meekly, humbly, care for their large family, care for her husband. And she wasn't out there traveling. It's not like she was out speaking. She wasn't out teaching these great things. She was just caring for her kids. He saw her works, and that's how he learned about Jesus. And so the people around you, they will look at your works, and they're going to learn about Jesus. And so I want to encourage us today, and let's commit ourselves, be it the first time or the 100th time, let's recommit ourselves to live wisely by meekly serving others. Now, how do we do that today? Oftentimes when preachers talk about today, they mean like contemporary culture, you know, in this century, in this town. It's kind of a zoomed out thing. I want to get really specific. How do we live wisely today, Sunday, February, what is it, the 18th of 2018? How can we live wisely today? Well, I think due to the environment around us, we can do two things. We can mourn with those who mourn. If you know someone that's hurting, that's struggling, that's grieving, just be with them. And sometimes I hear people say that they're scared to do that because they don't know what to say. Good. Don't say anything. That's the best kind of comfort we can give. It's just to be with people. And the second thing we can do is rejoice with those who are rejoicing. I want to encourage you. Do you remember the four children that were up here? Leah, Elijah, Ben, and Alex. Some are in the children's area. Ben and Alex, I think, they're in youth, right? Thank you, Jason. They're down here. I want to encourage every person here to congratulate them after church. You know what that means for a child? Especially if they're flying under the radar, people don't notice them that much, but to have people come up to them and say, hey, getting baptized is a big deal. To say, I'm excited for you. They remember that stuff. So how can we live wisely? We're going to mourn. We're going to grieve those who are grieving. And we're going to congratulate some kids today about being willing to step out, about being willing to have the whole group of people, the whole church stare at them, which is scary enough as it is. It's really scary for a child. In order to say they believe in Jesus because they want other people to believe too. That is wisdom right there. Church, would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for today, God. I thank you for the wisdom that comes from above. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to choose the wisdom that we have here. We don't have to choose the wisdom that's focused on ourselves, that's focused on our own gain. Even if those around us are choosing that, Lord, we can choose the wisdom from above that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. It's full of mercy. It's impartial and sincere. Lord, I'm reminded of way back in the Old Testament where you said to your people, I set before you this day life and death. What are you going to choose? Choose life. And God, I am aware that as I am speaking about being connected to the wisdom from heaven, there might be some here who are saying, I've never been connected to heaven before. I've never been connected to Jesus. I don't know who this guy is that you're talking about. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move in their life right now. And if that is you that is thinking, I've never been connected to Jesus before, I want to encourage you. Pray. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to send his Spirit to live inside of you. You know, God answers our prayers. I believe that one's his favorite one. And so, Lord, I pray you would reach those today that do not know you. And God, I am aware of many, not all, but of many of the difficult, the trying situations that our people are facing right now, of the wisdom they may need. God, I pray that you would give it to them, that you would walk with us through these waters, that we would navigate these waters with you by our side, that we would know what it is to grieve the loss of loved ones, to grieve the loss of our friends, while at the same time seeing the amazing works that you do in our lives, the amazing successes that we can see, the amazing ways that God's kingdom can go forth. And so, Lord, I ask, grant us wisdom today. We love you, Lord. We trust you with our lives. Where else can we go? There's no greater foundation that we can put our faith on than Jesus Christ. So would you bless us, Lord, as we go forth? Would you help us to walk and to live wisely today and tomorrow as we go back to work the next day? Show us how to live in such a way that honors you, because that brings us the most joy. And as a parent that gets all kinds of excited when I see my children happy, Lord, I believe the best way to bring glory to you, to make your face smile, is for us to have joy in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask you, if you have children, please go and get them. I'm going to say it again. I want everyone here, Aaliyah, Elijah, Ben, and Alex, congratulate them. Be excited for them. Let them know that they're not getting baptized just because their parents are making them. That's not true. But that it's a very exciting time for the church. All right, will you do that?
Yeah.
Go, let's do that.